it's not nerve-wracking at all. That's a great question. Some people, it's easier because it's that moment of that encounter with God. And so for me, it happened 10 years ago, and it was like this aha moment. But before that, I was born and raised in a super like Catholic household, like extremely Catholic. Like my parents right now are preaching in Kansas. They've been preaching since I was in the womb. So for me, it was this thing of like, well, Jesus just is, because he is. But that faith needed to become my own. And so the reason why I'm so confident that this is the truth is because I have literally doubted in almost everything. And I have taken it upon myself to be able to do the research. So like, why does the church say this? And what does this mean? And I think if you come from a Hispanic like household, for me, it was just like, don't do this, because Jesus said so. And I hated that. It was like, but why? Everyone else is doing it. So it was like, just don't do it. And it was like the fear of God, like, you're going to go to hell. I'm like, what? Like, I don't understand why it's wrong. So like, why is this going to be wrong? And so for me, it was understanding that actually every single thing the church says makes sense, not just like from a spiritual level. Like, it makes sense psychologically, it makes sense emotionally. Even science helps prove our faith. And so when I was able to see the big picture of everything, like, it was like this moment of, okay, he has to be the truth. And honestly, and this is something that was really big, if everything in this world, if the only truth in this world was what we understood of it, I don't know if I'd be happy living here. You know what I mean? If everything that I had to discover was only what I could understand in my mind, that's kind of boring. Unknowing that there has to be, it just makes logical sense that there has to be a right answer. There has to be something that's greater than all of our minds together, that's putting it all in our minds. Even the things that you're saying, like even the fact that you're questioning, how do you know, shows that you have a desire to discover it. And so for me, like all of these things really pointed me to see like, okay, there has to be a truth. I'm going to question the things that I have the questions of, I'm going to search for it. And I'm going to look at scripture. And I'm going to look at the catechism. And I'm going to look at the lives of the saints. And I'm going to look at all these things. Like morality was a huge thing for me. Because morality in Miami is just like, whatever, it's rough. But it's this thing of like, okay, well, actually, it all makes sense. Like, all of it makes sense. But I had to have that openness to be able to see it for myself. And then it was just like this moment of just like, okay. And when I realized, okay, he's the truth, then that's when the action really followed it. Because you can't just say like, oh yeah, he's the truth. But if there's no action following it, then I don't think we really get it. Did that help you? Have you been able to pinpoint the areas that are difficult? And maybe this is like a separate conversation, but I don't know. Do we have time?
I think we're all looped in now. So
okay, good. Okay, go.
I'm gonna give him a mic.
I'm so happy you're just being so open. Like I'm sure you're not the only one. So please, I want to hear from you.
Thank you very much. Sorry. It's very nerve-wracking. It just sits on you. So you got to say it. And I'm inspired by the fact that you talk about speaking in truth. So I feel inspired to actually say this. So we're imperfect, right?
Yes.
And we work and deal with imperfect people. Where does the information that we have come from? It comes from these imperfect people, you know? What do we have to look to outside of ourselves, that ideal, that thing that you can measure what you believe against? What is that, you know? The best I can think of is science and philosophy and math, but it doesn't totally satisfy me. And I think, this isn't meant to like try to dishearten anybody, but it's just really hard. And I really want to find it.
Yeah. Even science, I mean, I know math is more like, but I mean, people thought the world was flat for like the majority, very long time. And that was wrong, because it's round. So it's this thing of like, I get what you're saying, because we are flawed people, and so like, where does this all come from? But it's this thing of like understanding that, okay, yes, we are all flawed people, but all of us were created by the same person, God, and so we're all on this journey together to discover what this truth is. And so in regards to like, yes, like it's great that you're studying all these people and that's awesome. But I think it's like this thing of like you continuing your journey. And for me, like obviously like scripture is going to be a huge one. Because even like we believe that scripture like is like, especially like New Testament, like Jesus' words, Jesus' actions. And like these actions are still happening today. So like miracles are still happening today. Like people are blind and seeing today. People are literally like, I mean, the Eucharist is like bread becoming flesh, like legitimately. And science has no idea how this is possible. And they are not understanding how there's like live white blood cells. Like there are so many things that are unexplainable by the human mind that I think when we dive into that, it's like, okay, so there has to be a bigger picture. But my, and I'm going to be bold here. I think it's one saying, okay, I believe that there is a truth. And God, like I'm hesitant, but I want to say that it is you. And I'm gonna live my life and I'm gonna work towards living my life and my actions as if you are the truth. And by making that choice and that decision, then I can like continue to understand that. It's kind of like when you start dating someone, like you don't know you're gonna get married right away, but you like make the decision to like start dating them and then you slowly discover that you really do love this person, you want to be with them forever. I think it starts off with that choice. And I think slowly God will pursue your heart like he has for so many of us. We'll talk after. We'll talk after. That was so good though. Anyone else?
You got one? Yeah. Over.
You said you teach theology, right? So you teach at a Catholic school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do you show God, like, or how do you, like, in your decisions, right? You're working with students, with kids, and you got to make, like, a million decisions a day. Like, how do you, like, what's your philosophy of, like, teaching and, like, also just maintaining God always in those decisions?
Okay.
I don't know if that's, maybe it's I'm gonna
try to understand that. So one, on a personal level, like, making sure that I'm good with Jesus is, like, really big. There's nothing like being like my students keep me the most accountable ever, because if I do something wrong or like if I sin and I have to go the next day and 100 faces are looking at me and I know that they're looking at me and they want, like, not that I have to be perfect, but like, man, that keeps me really accountable, you know. That's part one. Two, in regards to my classroom, because we live in a world that's like has taken God so much out, it's almost like I have to sneak up on them. So I literally like put Jesus out of the equation for a little bit. And I'm like, okay, like, what do you guys think about this topic from the world's perspective? And they're like, okay, let's look about it from a psychological perspective. Why would this make sense? Okay, let's look about it from a medical perspective. Why would this make sense? And then I'm like, you guys realize that what you guys said connects exactly with what Jesus was saying. You know, it's like, it's almost like I'm like guiding them to understand, because I can't just go up there and be like, Jesus, because they're going to be like, unfortunately. And that sucks, and that's really hard to say. But it's this thing of, like, helping them to see that there's it all meshes together and that what God wants for them, which is what this is what really helps them, is, like, God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be feel loved. He wants you to know that there's something greater for you. And from there, we kind of just build up. It's a lot of building blocks and, like, time. Like, I have to go in order, you know? Like, for theology of the body, like, it's like a 2 months prep, because, man, those kids. Okay. There you go. It's just rough.
Hi. So my question, I'm sorry for those that aren't, is also teacher related. I teach in a public school, high school as well, where I can't speak truth as a Catholic Christian to them. I mean, they see me at church because my population goes to St. Francis, like me, and so they see me, but I can't speak truth in my classroom the way I would if I were at a Catholic school. Mm-hmm. So how can I speak truth to them without literally doing so?
This is going to be challenging, but it's more like instead of speaking the truth, it's living in the truth. And so by the way that you love your students, by the way that you act with them, even like as teacher, you can totally relate to this. Like even in my, like the teacher's lounge, you know that a lot of stuff is said in there. Like even in the way that you react to that stuff is a huge difference. And like, no, you can't specifically say God, but you can talk about hope. and you can talk about love, and you can talk about like our desires without saying God. But if you say it in a way that's, because it's true, it'll resound in their hearts. And I think they'll know where you're coming from. But the biggest thing is it's your witness. And I think, I know it's challenging, but that's actually kind of cool because they get to see it. Does that make sense? Yeah, you're welcome.
My new friend from New Jersey.
Good evening. I was wondering if you could speak to how service has played a factor in your understanding of faith or coming towards or as a part of your journey to truth.
So happy you asked that. Okay, so growing up, it was a thing of like, you know, going to nursing homes and helping feed the homeless, not as often as I would like, if we're being completely honest, but that really helped me to like be able to do that. But side note, so like growing up, I've always wanted to do a mission trip, but I was never able to. I had 13 ear surgeries growing up, and so I've had like a lot of issues with my ears, and I also have like a minor heart condition, so like mission trips just really worried me. But this summer, I was actually able to go to Haiti for the first time, and that was my first mission trip, and it was extra special because we share an island, like Dominican Republic and Haiti share an island, but there's like a lot of division. So I got to go to this place, and that like absolutely changed everything for me. It was a thing of seeing the face of people that are in so much suffering. I mean, if you don't know much about Haiti, like there's no trash system, so there's trash everywhere. Like dried up lakes are just full of trash, and there's people living on them. And I was serving with the missionaries of charity, like Mother Teresa's order. And if you've never seen them, like those women, they don't mess around. They're intense, but like they do everything with such love that it just really impacted me. And they have a little hospital for kids in the area from ages 6 months to 6 years old. And all these kids want to do is like be held and just be seen. And they were so like, we brought bubbles. And these kids were freaking out about bubbles. And I think that they like really reminded me of the beauty of simplicity and the joy that they had. I feel like they were able to see truth way more than so many of us are, because they're stripped of so many of the things that America doesn't have. And that really impacted me. When I got back to America, it was like this thing of like, I remember, this is gonna sound kind of bad, but I remember being in the airport. By the way, I was over there when the protests broke out. We were stuck for 3 extra days, long story. God's funny. But God used even that to teach me a lesson. I remember getting back to America and like kids were crying. And one of my friends said this like totally truthfully. She was like, why is this kid crying? Like the mom's right there, they're in air conditioning, she has food. I don't understand. Like it was like this, like this thing, like I don't get it. Like, but like even these simplicities, like, and I thought like, yeah, like, but these kids, they don't get it. Like in America, we don't get the big picture. And so serving in Haiti, seeing the faces of these children, and then seeing, like I got to visit a prison over there where there was 27 men in an 8x10 cell with zero air being treated like, I mean, talk about human dignity being stripped. They're treated like animals. And I remember being there and being like, God, like there's so much suffering. Like, where are you? And I remember God putting in my heart, like, I'm there. Like I'm in the prison cell with them, and I like we prayed together with these men, and their faith was almost like so in many ways stronger than ours. They were clinging to truth because they realized that like freedom, they could be free in the cell. They could be free in the cell with God. And so yeah, service has played a huge thing, especially after this summer. If you would have asked me that last year, I wouldn't been able to answer it the way that I did. But I think when you go to serve, you see truth, God himself in these faces. And they're, it's forever changed. So does that answer your question? Sorry. I just wanted to rant about Haiti. Haiti was awesome. It was really good.
So about one more question, depending upon how long it is.
Danny! Isn't your name Danny? Oh,
Darian.
Sorry, it's my hearing issues.
That's the second time in my lifetime somebody's called me Danny. Okay, so. Is that true? Yes, that is true.
I don't even know anymore.
That is true. Okay. So this is going to be a radical change of conversation. The topic. Besides Vienna and besides Gaming, where else in Austria did you go to? Did you explore Austria anywhere else?
The train took us a lot of places. I don't
know. So in between Vienna and Gaming, right?
Yes.
So obviously Upper Austria, all that stuff. Okay. So just that.
And then like Germany, other areas. I don't know.
Okay, so just the northeastern part of Austria.
I think that back table would help me out more. I don't remember where we went.
Got it. Okay. Okay. So yeah, Upper Austria, you know, like Donau and the Linz
Germany, yeah. Poland, just all the
Linz and the Donau. That's wonderful. Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it.
We can do better than that. Anybody got another question they want to ask? No, I'm kidding. The other time he asked the same question before to the other knights, so it's like a pattern, I think.
Oh, okay, it's like become a tradition. I love.
Anybody have one final question? Any other questions? Oh. All right, then on that note, I'm sorry, I didn't see it.
All right, so one thing I noticed is that God's plan is a lot of times very unexpected, that even though you work towards something, you might not get it, but you might get something similar. And you're not supposed to expect and not to really go after. I'm trying to think. How did I say this?
So God's plan, unexpected, uh-huh.
No, what I mean is so sometimes the unexpected happens, like even though you work for something, but how do you work for, like how do you predict, like you can't... You can't predict what's going to happen in your life, but however, you do have to prepare for it. So how do you balance between preparing and working for it and just letting God guide us in our life?
Okay, so the way that I've seen it is you do your part. So, like, I know some people, like, especially towards the end of school, it's like, I'm trusting God that he's going to find me a job and da-da-da. And then it's like, okay, like, how many places did you apply to? And they were like, I'm just trusting God. Like, I don't think it's going to work that way, buddy. So it's like this thing of, like, we do have to do our part. But at the same time, like, one of my biggest prayers in trying to figure out God's will is, like, God, close the doors and open the doors. And so, like, God, like, I'm going to focus on my relationship with you. I'm going to focus on praying. And you're gonna put a desire in my heart, because God works the desires of our hearts. And so he would, I've never desired anything in the medical field. I would never, like, go to do anything in the medical field, because that's not something that's, like, has to do with my gifts and stuff like that. So God works, like, think, like, basic stuff. So what are the gifts that you have? How does he want to use them? In what ways can he use them? And then focus on praying and allow him to kind of guide us. He's not going to show us the big picture. If he would have showed me what I'm doing now a couple years ago, like, no. But little steps that guide us to the next step, and then all of a sudden it becomes, it's like small unexpected things that lead us to bigger things. One of the jobs that I got recently happened because I had a conversation with someone at a Christmas party. I forgot about this conversation, but God used that conversation to open like so many other doors that I never thought possible. And so if your eyes are fixed on the Lord, it's kind of like Peter walking on water. You know, like Jesus is like, come out. And you're like, it's water. Like, this isn't going to work. By the way, I tried that when I was little. It didn't work. But it's this thing of like, you're going to walk and then you're going to just like, if your eyes are fixed on God, we're good. But the second you start thinking like the waves and oh my goodness, I'm walking on water. And then you go down. So it's this thing of like, if you fix our eyes on the Lord, he's going to guide us to the bigger steps that will show us the big plan that he has for us. So just trust, and just what makes logical sense, I think, is a really basic thing. Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, let's give it up for Maddie.